Give Greg a hand. Come on. Amen. 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 Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And Lord, we thank you for your word that you speak to us and have a deep understanding of what you're doing. And Lord, I pray you would speak to us this morning. We just ask that Holy Spirit come down, just as the song said, just come down among us, move among us, be our teacher this morning. And pray you would just fill me with the Spirit, and I would just speak nothing but the things of the Spirit and have each heart open to receive the deep things that you're telling us. So we give all thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. This morning, as we jump in, before I read over the verse, my personal opinion, okay, that the message, the scripture, not my message, the scripture, really gives us some insight of what's happening in our life. It gives us insight of what God is doing in our life, and I think it will be an eye-opener, and it can bring some things together. It's like, oh my goodness, this is what's happening. And that to see his hand moving in a special way, similar to the way it moved with Jesus when he walked this earth. All right. So, going into John, let us look at this final section, you know, on the Paracletus. Final section on the Paracletus. John 16, 12 through 14. It says this, Jesus goes, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Just pause. Somebody say amen. Right? God, why don't you tell me? How many of you said it? Tell me. I want to know. He goes, I don't think so. Not now. You can't handle it. Pay attention to this verse. You know, we need to really pay attention to what he's saying. Jesus is saying this. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, now we know who this is, the Spirit of truth, because in verse 8, when we jump up, he talks about the Paracletus. The Paracletus is the Spirit of truth. Or is the Holy Spirit. So he says the Spirit of truth. It's the Paracletus. So from verse 8 all the way down here is tied together. It's all tied together, okay? So when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. Jesus is talking. He will glorify me. Who is it? The Paracletus will glorify me. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Declare it to you. Now, what we've seen here in John 14:26 is that the Paracletus is the Holy Spirit. So we know that because it says it in John 14:26. And again, I drive home the point. You know I do this all the time. This is all in context. This is all in context, all right? So he's talking about the Paracletus in this section. It's a natural flow. Then we also see in John 16:8, we see the Paracletus. In 16:8, it says the Paracletus convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, I want you to understand when he says this, he convicts. He comes, grabs people by their shoulders, and he convicts sin, righteousness, and judgment. And what he does, he communicates, doesn't fail. You know, as Annette says, sometimes people don't hear. No, they hear. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. They hear. He convicts. If they don't show up in heaven and go, oh, shucks, I didn't know. Not happening. Oh, shucks, I didn't know. There's within the heart the God-shaped void in people's heart, and he convicts. And so the world is there coming home. They make decisions to do their own will. Do you remember what we called sin last week? Independence of God. They're not hearing. They're working independent. Now, you say, well, I don't know. That's what God says. So we take this from what God, this is what he's saying, okay? So we think, oh my goodness, the Paracletus. He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and the judgment. Now what we see this week, in context with him convicting the world, we see that in context with convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, he is also guiding those who have put their trust in him as their Savior. So you see what he's doing? He's convicting the world. They don't know it. He's convicting. He's moving and convicting. Okay? Now, people are responding different ways, but he is convicting because he tells us so. But at the same time, he's guiding us. See, believers, he's guiding us. Now, and that's what is it? Really, that's what he says. And this is what Jesus is telling us here. Now, here's, as I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, my question is, when I'm reading this and just how my mind works, I was doing this week, I said, Dear Lord, why would you use the term Paracletus? Why? Why did he do that? I mean, he's been talking three gospels, this gospel, the rest of it, it's Holy Spirit. It's Holy, but here he says Paracletus. Why? And also, when you look up, it doesn't translate into English. It doesn't translate into English. The word has a uniqueness about it. And you say, well, why? And so I'm asking the Lord, why did you put this here? You know, why did you put this here? And then as I was thinking about it, it came to my mind, it's, oh, well, maybe this is the period. And again, it just came to my mind. It's like, my name is Wallace. That's what my name is. My function is pastor. And I've seen all of y'all. You have entered. Hey, Wallace, are you introduced me to Wallace? Some of you, hey, this is our pastor. It's the same thing, right? It's the same thing. But what it is, one's my name and one's what I do. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit's name. Paracletus is what he does. Paracletus is what he does. So Jesus, he's, listen, you guys, I need to get something. You know, I want to help you out here. I need to communicate something because I'm leaving. And the Paracletus, this is what he's going to do when I leave. Oh, does that help y'all? I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, that's why he's telling us. There's something. He's telling us what he does. What he does. And so you said, well, what he does, because the word Paracletus means helper, counselor, advisor, legal consultant. And also in ancient times, they'd have little tugboats that get little big boats in the harbor. They called them Claretetus, Paracletus. Tugboat. See? He says, I mean, this is me. Jesus, I'm leaving you, but I'm leaving you a tugboat. I'm leaving you a tugboat that'll get you to shore. It's like, oh my gosh. So I was in my office going, a revelation. Really? You know, Paracletus. That's why. And this is only used place here in John, which is, I think, is also fascinating. Now, so Jesus clearly wanted us to understand what the Holy Spirit would do, okay? And so, and think about this, from John chapter 13 all the way through 17, okay, is one message from Jesus, one message. And it's the night before the cross. It's after communion and the night before the cross, chapter 13 through 17. So this is not, hey, he taught this over 3 years. No, I'm going to depart. Let's just have a little Bible study. I mean, I've been on this for several weeks. They got it all. See, they got it all. So Jesus, the night before he went to the cross, Jesus was explaining the work of the Holy Spirit associated with their salvation. Are y'all with me now? Because I'm like, I want the drum roll kind of built up. Like, okay, salvation, we're saved, we're forgiven, hallelujah, we're going to heaven. And that's all I need to know about Jesus. And it's good, because that'll get you to heaven. But Jesus is going, now I need to tell you something. That is very, very true. But there's something else that's going to happen. There's something else that's going to happen. And it's the Paracletus. I'm going to send him to you, and he's going to be the tugboat that carries you through your life. That's what he's telling them. That's what he's telling them. Now, so when you look at this, now as believers, we understand our own situation. As believers, we have clear truth and revelation concerning our redemption. Right? Right? Okay. We know, we trust him, and we're saved. Amen? We rejoice in that. We are saved. That's the redemption. That's what he's telling these guys. You know that. I've told you this. They may not have understood it, but they know it. He's already told them that. Now, as believers, we have the clear truth and the revelation of redemption. However, there is much more that Jesus wants to reveal. Much more. So, and he said, I've got to tell you, there's much more, and I'm going to reveal this to you. Now, let's just kind of cover this, and so we can jump off here and understand the foundation of what Jesus is doing. But when we look at this, this will help us understand the big picture. Okay, the big picture of our Christian life, how the whole thing works together. You know, I've shared, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and the sooner the better. Oh, God, I'm tired of being here. That's a terrible thing to say on Pastor Appreciation Month. Oh, my gosh. But you say, oh, it's just like it never ends. It's like, you know. So we got the salvation. We love it. We absolutely love it, all right? And so, and it is the absolute truth proclaimed from day one. Like he said, I have many things to tell you, but you can't bear it. This isn't one of them. We got this one, right? We got this one. He said, I've told you. And so it's, again, we can look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's up the overhead, but you could still look at it. We know this. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. All God's people. It's an absolute. It's not something that God is like, later I'll reveal it. No, that's the first thing we get. We don't have that. We don't even get second. I mean, it is the first foundational thing. First foundational thing. Now, so we go, hallelujah. And it's an absolute. And I've shared, you go to a church and somebody says, well, you know, cross, Christ only died some of our sins, you know, but we got to do certain things. You go, you know, it's like, no, I'm out of here. I'm not going to listen to nothing you say. In fact, I'm going to get up in the middle of your sermon and leave. Holy, no. See, it's a foundational. So if no one has that foundational, you should never be in their presence under their teaching. Okay, now we all go off all, but no, you can't go off there. You can't go off there. And so we understand that, okay? So by Jesus going to the cross, the foundational thing, so here we're still on that. By Jesus going to the cross, he did something. He reconciled the human race, putting it back where God designed it to be. You know, with me? That he did that. He did that. He, on the cross, reconciled the human race to him, and he put us where we're supposed to be. So what this is, when we trust Christ, Christ died for the cross for our sins, and we trust Him. I trusted Him. He goes, okay, I got Wallace right where he's supposed to be. I got you right where he's supposed to be. That's what he said to each one of you. I got you right where you're in my kingdom. You're my kids. Right where, and you, I've made fun of your kids, all right, children, but God gives us kids. God gives us kids to parents to raise parents. You realize that, don't you? You know. How many of you are perfect parents? How many of you thought you were perfect parents before you had kids? See, and so what happened, children teach us a lot about God, because you look at them, you know, and you go, he takes after your side of the family. My family never did that. You know, you go, whose child is this? You know, whose child is this? And so you, so God, so what we, but they're our children, our DNA, and God goes, when we accept Christ, and we go, we're his child, we're his DNA. He said, okay, my kids. These are my kids. I had a pastor tell me one time, he said, you have people come to know Jesus and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you have all the fun of working in the nursery. I didn't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing, but you know what he's saying? You have all the fun of working in the nursery. Have you been in a nursery? They're jumping on the toys. They're climbing the wall. They're hanging on the doorknobs. They're alive. They're alive. And they're yours, you know. He said, wouldn't you be happy? And I thought, no, I think we need to work a little legalism in here somewhere, you know. Okay, but you see what I'm saying. But the point of it is, we need to realize what happened at the cross. At the cross, God put the human race where it was supposed to be. See, that's what happens. We are where we're supposed to be. We're good. We're absolutely good. We're kids, you know, and we're here kids, that we're God's kids. Now, when where we are supposed to be, this is like a done deal, okay? Completed, absolutely finished, irrevocable. We're in, stuck, we're here. You know, it's a finished work. Hallelujah. Aren't you happy about that? Yeah, amen. I don't care how you act. I mean, I'm sure some of you tried this. Any of you ever tried to take your children back to the hospital? You got, no, this one's not working. It is not working, you know. And see, so God, it's like, no, God has us. We're right where we're supposed to be. We're his children. Okay, and we act like children. Did you know the Bible refers to his children? He goes, these great, mighty adults of the Lord are mine. You ever see that in the scripture? Any one place? What does he call us? They're my children. They're my children. There's a reason he calls us children. Okay, so you have the picture. Okay, we're in a good spot. Amen? Home in heaven. We're God's children. He fixed that. God fixed it. Irrevocable. Fixed it. And we all say, hallelujah. Now he adds something else to it. He adds something else, which is really powerful when you think about it. He adds something else. It's any effort, any good work we try to do to be accepted by God. Any work we try to do, any effort we try to do to be accepted by God nullifies Christ's death and alienates us from God. I mean, will I do this good thing to be accepted by God? You nullify what Christ did and you're alienated. I want to feed the poor and just show God how much I love him and be accepted by him. You've alienated yourself from God. You've nullified the work of Christ. See, he just wants you being his kids because he trusts you. Just to trust you. It says in Romans, and he talks about when the Holy Spirit's coming, you'll cry out, Abba, which is another word that doesn't translate into the English. And so the Bible just translates it as Abba. And the best thing we have now is Daddy. he gets his people, you go, Daddy. You mean two-year-old Daddy? You think like that. Yeah, two-year-old Daddy. Listen, you clean up your room before you call me Daddy. I'm not talking to you. You know, it's like, no, they can't do that. They just Daddy. Well, so he says, this is who you are. I made you my, and just Daddy. Okay. Okay. And this is what he's saying. Anything, Daddy, you know, I'll clean the room. I'll do it if you will just love me. What is that? That alienates from God. Alienate. Now, if you want specific verse, you need to look at Galatians 5:4. And it tells you that. Any good work, in Galatians 5:4, he says, any good work you do to be accepted by God alienates you from God, nullifies the work of the cross. We know that. That's not a new thing. Okay? This is how we came to Christ. Now, also, I have to add, throw out there, all of you lawgivers, finger pointers, and who judge others, destroy Christ's work. Do you see the problem of legalism? Do you see the problem? Well, if you do this, you can be accepted in this body. You destroy Christ's work. Work of Christ. Now, you may get something done, but it won't be because of the work of Christ. See? Because you put a work to associate. Judgmental, being judgmental and finger pointing destroys the work of Christ. Now, you think, so I'm going back. We're good with Jesus, all right? We're happy as we can be with Jesus. Like, oh my gosh. Therefore, here we are. We're all happy with Jesus, and we're not going to be trying to do anything to be accepted by him. Amen? Okay. Therefore, we have the revelation of the Paracletus. Therefore, because of, we're the little kids, you know, just because DNA, no works, can't do a work, just accept him. Have that relationship. Therefore, we have the Paracletus, which is the Holy Spirit. Because, come up and say, Daddy. Yeah, okay, come on. See, that's it. We're in. Now, let me read this verse. We'll put it up. We're here, Daddy. Nothing to offer. Nothing. Because it's going to alienate Christ. Now look, if you will, it's so important now to look at John 16, 13, and 14. Now this is happening. It's not conditional. Okay? But there'll be explanation after it. But listen to this. When the Spirit of truth comes. Now, he's telling the disciples, but he's telling the disciples and also us now, after the disciples, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you. When the Spirit of truth comes, what will happen? Is that he will guide you? Maybe. Maybe he'll guide you. If you're good, he'll guide you. You be good, I'll guide you. If that's what he's saying. Now, so we're looking at the scripture when the Spirit of truth comes. So let me back up. When does the Spirit of truth come for us? Salvation. The Spirit of truth comes to salvation. If it doesn't come, the Bible says you're not saved. Well, the Spirit of truth didn't come on me. The Bible says you're not saved. So the Spirit of truth comes on you when you accept Christ. That's a fact, okay? And that's one of the things. No, that's not something you learn late. No, that's day one. Irrevocable Spirit of truth comes. Therefore, when the Spirit of truth comes, what does he do? Well, he doesn't guide me. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will speak, he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come, and he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Now, he told the disciples that, but all believers will receive the Holy Spirit, and he will tell them he will guide you. So we take that as a given. Now, remember, he said something else. I have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. So things are, he's not telling us everything, you know. So when we look at this, is our salvation absolute? So is this. He will guide you. It's absolute. It's an absolute. Now, here's the thing, the little catchy part of it, and the Bible is clear. The Holy Spirit will guide us. Okay, now listen carefully to this. There is a distinction between the revealed truth of redemption, which is finished and complete, and the actual conscious experience of truth based on the decisions of a person's life. Redemption's absolute. We're in, but the actual conscious of experiencing it and walking through it and doing the things we're supposed to do are based on the decisions we make. They're based on the decisions we see. And you think about it, God didn't create robots. He didn't create. He created people who made a decision for him. We're in the kingdom. And then he starts leading us, and we start making decisions for us. It's relational. It's relational. You know, you tell your kids, clean up your room. Oh, you clean. Then one day you walk in, they cleaned up your room. You almost have a heart attack. Holy cow. You know, what'd you do wrong? I mean, it's like, what in the world? But something happened that it stuck, and they said, I need to clean up my room, came from within, and they did it. Now, they had been guided by you for like 10 years or 15, all right? But one day, then it came from within, and then you said, oh my gosh. See? Holy Spirit guides, but we have to make a decision on what he's saying to us. Does that make sense? And this is what he's doing with all of us. And so he knows exactly who we are and where we're coming from, and he speaks to us individually in our own situation based on who we are. Now, it's funny, when I love, by the way, when the guy spoke, you know, while I was gone, I enjoyed listening to that. And one of the things I enjoyed most about it is, like, you know, I wouldn't have given, like, the four messages. I couldn't have given their four messages. You know, they're different. They set those messages based on what God showed them, who they were, and how they were made. God met with them and showed them unique messages from them. See? And that's fascinating. Well, God does that. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes in. He created them. And he came in. He taught them. He taught, you know, from the time they were kids, he taught them, and then he brought to mind a message that he would give through them based on what he taught them. Now, I hope, you know, I had 2 cents thrown in there and read the Bible or something. But no, it was them, what they learned. See, they're different. I'm going to say, I think for you to have a good walk with the Lord, you need to be just like me. Now, one person wouldn't agree with it, and it's Linda. She says, well, you should never sit. They don't know you. You know, okay. But also, Woods says, listen, to be a good Christian, you need to be just like me. I don't know that I can be like Woods. I don't think I can do it. That's it. I'm getting info from my wife there. Says, there ain't no way. So what I'm saying, but you see what I'm saying? So you got the Holy Spirit. He will guide you, but he comes into individuals based on who you are, the individual person you are, and into your situation and do something with you that will be done different than what he's doing with somebody else. how he works in woods and things he's teaching me is not necessarily how he's going to work in me and teach me, or Carlos, how he teaches Carlos. He's going to teach. No, you know, he's going to come and teach me based on how I'm wired to communicate where I can grow in him. Now, I can hear from the other folks, and I've got great insight that I can apply and appreciate what they did, you know, so I can make a good application and I learn something, but I'll never be them. And Jesus doesn't want me to be them, nor you. Do you see what I'm saying here? So the uniqueness of what God is doing, he says, he comes in here, he says, I'll guide you. I'm going to guide you based on who you are, based on who you are. Now, so the point of it, the point I hear, the distinction is there's revealed truth. Christ paid the penalty for all our sins. Okay, the four guys that came up here and shared, if any four of them had a different way to salvation than Jesus, no. No, there's no difference. They had the same basic saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They all four believed that. But then it went just all over the place because they're different. The majesty of God, it's different. And that's what you work in when you see in people. And so the finished work is complete. But our actual experience is based on the decision made in our personal life. Now, I'm sure you get older, and Lynn and I have talked about this, especially on our vacation. Recognizing that we're getting older, you know, they're all so kind to us, but we really are getting older. But we think about, but we'll talk to somebody, be with somebody, and then we'll go talk about, well, they're going to do something that the Lord's going to do. And I'm thinking, I don't know, based on my years of experience, I don't know if that's what I'd do, you know. But there's an element, I mean, if it's something like really dumb wrong, you say, hey, brother, you can put your arm around them and say, hey, like that. But the thing you realize is like, I don't see that, but God's telling them something. He's not telling me. He's showing them. He's bringing them. And maybe even if it's a misstep, they have to go the misstep to get to the place where he wants them to be. You see what I'm saying? And it's like, okay, but it's not me. And so you try to understand, well, God spoke to them, and he's speaking to them. He is, if you're a believer, he is speaking to you. And then you kind of have to defer to the other person, you know, to what God's showing them. I shared this, I don't get too off base. I remember that this was so clear to me. This lady came and she talked to me. I still know her today. And this was 40 years ago. And she asked, I'll just be general, a specific kind of counseling question. It's really serious like that. And she says, what do you think? And it's like, well, and so I showed her a verse, you know, that would communicate what I thought the Lord wanted. And she said, but God showed me this verse. Like, okay. Then that's what you do. She goes, but you said, I don't care what I said. He showed you that. And there's a reason. Now, again, it wasn't like, oh, you stole something, don't steal something. It wasn't like that. It was more nuanced than that. But no. He spoke that to you. There's a reason. That's what you should do. And I didn't really think it was the right thing, but it was like, okay. Now, I look back 40 years, I can see how it all worked out. And I also see that she had to go through a really difficult time that really refined her to come out to be where she is now. I could have undercut the whole thing, or tried to, you know. But you have to be sensitive to what God's doing in other people. You know, don't be the Paracletus in somebody else's life. Don't do that. Okay, you got your own Paracletus. Okay, let them. Hey, you got their own Paracletus. Don't be their Paracletus. Okay, you see what I'm saying? Because that's not how God works. That's not. And this is why. And this is what Jesus is telling his disciples. Okay, so we got that. There's a distinct because it. The behavior is different because we are different. Now, get back on track here. The application of individual people to the guidance of the Holy Spirit is a matter of their own individual decisions. We're going to do things different based on our personality, whoever, how we're going to do stuff different. And you know, we may do stuff different. It might irritate other people. You know, it's like, okay, you got to allow God to work within other people's lives. Believers do not need more rules or judgments. We don't need rules and judgments. You hear me? We don't need more rules or judgments. We just need to stop acting independent of God. That's it. Somebody may go, wait a minute. That's a little too loosey-goosey for me. But that's true. We don't need rules. And I always use Jesus. I think of Jesus. I mean, Jesus is like perfect. Perfect. And I'm just asking, would Jesus ever steal? Ever? What if thou shalt not steal was not in the Ten Commandments? It just wasn't there. Would Jesus steal? No, he didn't need it in the Ten Commandments. He wasn't going to do it. He would never do it because he was Jesus. So he didn't steal. See? And when we receive the Holy Spirit, which is Jesus in us, Christ in us, we shouldn't want to steal either. And I've shared with you before, you know, I'll talk about, you know, we know Wallace, I kind of like him, but he really is a thief. And he comes to the house and he just steals all our silverware, and gosh, we might go over dinner. I like Linda, and he'll come. And he said, I promise, because it says, thou shalt not steal, I'll come in and I won't steal anything. I promise, I won't steal. I promise, I won't steal. I won't steal. How comfortable do you feel with me? How comfortable are you? See? No. You want me to come? I don't want to steal your stuff. When the Holy Spirit's working, you don't want to. You don't want to. You don't need a law. You shouldn't want to. Jesus didn't want to steal. He didn't steal. And he says we're like to be like him. You know, we're to be like Jesus. So, we realize God is meeting each individual where they are, speaking into their situation. Remember that when you talk to somebody. It's their situation. They're coming to grips with their situation. And you can be helpful. The Holy Spirit will speak. He will guide. He will continue to reveal Christ. He will. To believers. Because he said he would. Each person is responsible to grow in their own relationship with Christ. I can't be like Woods. Woods doesn't want to be like me. Just joking. But you see what I'm saying? They're different. And that's fine. That's good. So that's so good. Now, so each person is responsible to grow in their own relationship with Christ. Now listen carefully. A little kind of throwaway verse. We read it already. Okay. This is the reason Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. You can't handle it. You can't handle it. Okay? And I'll tell you once you can handle it. And I'm going to bring you through things in life that are going to be difficult. And as you come through those things in life, then I'll be able to reveal more things to you because you can handle it. See, and that's what he's saying right there. And so what he has, and this is why here's so important from Jesus' point of view, he says, so I have a lot to tell you, but I can't tell you now. So I will send the Holy Spirit of truth to continue to guide you. He's going to guide you. He's going where you are, not where you think you ought to be in 10 years. He will guide you. He's going to be your little tugboat, all right? He'll continue to guide you. Jesus is saying you are going to need the Holy Spirit to function in this world. I'm telling you, you're going to need the Holy Spirit to function in this world. And He's, I'm giving it to you, and He will guide you. All right? See, to keep from sinning, we don't need a rule. Say someone will use stealing, because I don't be careful what I use here. Like stealing, somebody's stealing. Okay, listen, come here. Stop it. Don't steal. Are they better? No, they're not better. They didn't need a rule. They knew they weren't supposed to steal in the first place. And now they're, afraid they're going to get caught, so they won't. No, they don't need it. They need a relationship with Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Then they won't steal. Based on their own, oh dear God, help me. You won't steal. It comes from within. All right? So we need the Holy Spirit to function in this world. We need Jesus and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. As believers,
So you have all this picture here. Okay, so what are we to do? Okay, what is our to-do? Aren't we a to-do list? Okay, we want a to-do.
So as believers, what are we to do? Now I'm going to give you a few examples in scriptures, verses that show us how to incorporate the power of the Holy Spirit that we will behave and do like Jesus. I'm going to give you three verses, all right? There are three sections of Scripture. So we want something to do. Here's a to-do. What He tells us to do to release the power of God. Ready? Okay, here's one. And I have these on the board. You can put them. There they are. Number one, no rules for holiness, all right? No judging, just the Holy Spirit. And this equals present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Here I am, God. Well, no, I'm not right now. Maybe later. No, here I am, God. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now listen to the verses. Put up there. Romans 12, 1 through 2. Listen closely. This is your to-do to release the power of God in your life. Paul is saying, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present decision. That's a decision. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's kind of like you give every bit of you to Jesus. Every bit. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It's kind of like, I love that song, by the way, that last one. I loved all your songs. But the special one on the Holy Spirit, you just kind of got in. You just kind of get lost in that. You said, oh my gosh, He goes, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to present your bodies a living sacrifice. That focus on me. Okay. Present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Decision. Ain't doing that. Won't come here going, nah. Say, because why? You've given your, present your body as a living sacrifice, okay? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I'm going to make a point here. This is really important, I think. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's not being transformed by listening to the Holy Spirit and obeying the Holy Spirit. It's be transformed by the renewing your mind. This is like studying for a math test. Renew your mind. Renew your mind. You lived in the world for 30 years. And your mind is a good thing, and it works, and it remembers all the trash you've been through and all the stuff, in your mind. He goes, renew it. Renew it. Like studying for a math test. You renew. You study to renew your mind. He's not talking anything about the Holy Spirit here. He's talking about you to work on your mind so it thinks different. If you will, this is kind of like learning the language of the Holy Spirit. Learning the language of the Holy Spirit.
by renewing your mind, reading the scriptures, understanding the things of God. And then when God speaks to you, you understand. I remember one time in my life, somebody's talking about God speaking, I don't understand. And then finally when I understood, I came across something and God revealed it to me. I said, he's been telling me this the whole time. The whole time, I just couldn't understand it. It's like, I don't know why I'm picking on Woods this morning. Maybe it's just he deserves it, or I don't know. But it's like, he likes to talk about nuclear reactors and stuff like that, and he shares it to me. And I just look at, I don't have a clue what he's talking about. Nothing. I put nice and I listen, but I don't know what he's talking about. I hated physics. I hated chemistry. I hated all that stuff, you know. I did, you know, the world works. Why do I have to know why all this works? It just works, you know. And so when he tells me that stuff, it doesn't make any sense. Because I've never taken chemistry. I never take physics. So there's nothing. For me to understand Woods, you know, where we could really relate about that subject, I'd have to, or should have taken some physics and some chemistry, and then I'd understand those principles, and then when he would speak, I would understand. God is going, I'm talking to you, and you can't understand the thing I'm saying. You don't understand. I'm speaking to you. Read the Bible, renew your mind, learn the language of the Holy Spirit, and then you can hear. You can hear the principles. Then you'll be able to hear me more clearly. Amen? So differentiate between renewing your mind and hearing from the Holy Spirit. Wood shared something with me. I guess he had these friends. They said they weren't going to study for a test and Jesus was just telling them what was on. You know, now I'm thinking, now our son tried that. But anyway. And of course they all flunked, you know, because the Holy Spirit's going, no, you go to take you renew your mind. You learn, you know, and then you take the test and you pass. You renew your mind. Okay. So the whole Holy Spirit is speaking to us, but we need to know the language of the Holy Spirit. And you read through the scriptures. You read through the scriptures, you learn the language, and then all of a sudden you're looking through the filter of the scriptures and the Holy Spirit becomes, oh my gosh, this is what he's saying to me. Y'all with me? So it's a huge, anyway, often he said, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. You read, this happens, it's, wait a minute, that's not what the Holy Spirit said. No, this is not what I read in Scripture, and therefore you test it. Wallace, do this. You go, no, it's not right. You know, but it's because that the renewing of our mind, presenting our bodies as living sacrifice, we can test and may discern what is the will of God. We may discern what is the will of God. What is the acceptable and perfect will of God? Amen. That's what you do. Ladies, I've really caused some marital problems. Ladies, what if in your relationship with your spouse, you know, and it's like, if you just had the rules, don't steal, clean the house, do the dishes, fix my dinner, you know, or whatever else you think, and always remember I told you I loved you when we got married. Don't have to repeat it. I told you once. Okay. Now, how warm and fuzzy is that, ladies? See, that's legalism. It's God's not, oh, give me a break. It's legalism, okay? What if we just applied these verses? You know, I just will present myself to you as a living sacrifice, and you can just say anything you want to me. And my whole desire is to be able to please you and walk with you, you know, and anything you ask. And, you know, and just know I'm always there, and I'll be there for you. In fact, I'm even going to buy some books and just study some things about you so I can understand your words more clearly. I just love being with you and just having the time. I'm not being transformed to the world. I want to be transformed to you and what you're doing. Wow. Wouldn't you love it? Wouldn't you love it? Come on, get ladies. Some of you looking off. Wouldn't you love it? You know? No, he knows he's wrong. I mean, don't worry about him. He knows he's... Wouldn't you love it? See? Would he have to tell you, you know, you ought to get the laundry done? No, you don't. Oh, man, I just love being doing the laundry, you know. We just have a good dynamic here. It's nothing to do with the laundry, you know. I just feel so uplifted. Y'all getting on, you with me? See, that's how God is. That's exactly how God is. Present yourself to me as a living. Let me be the fullness of your life. Listen to me, pay attention, walk with me. I'm just looking for that's what I want. All right, and although I won't steal, and I won't do this, and I won't do this. Okay, do I right now? Just denied the work of Christ. See, okay. So you see, that's the to-do list. That's the to-do list. Guys, I'm really picking over this. I just, you know, sometimes you just sense an opportunity to just go for the gold. Guys, ladies, when you look at this, when you absolutely look at this, you would think what this would do shows power in a marriage relationship. That's how you get power in a relationship. That's where you talk about male headship. Male headship. A little verse I love, male headship. It says, husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Living sacrifice. You know, some of you think, kill me. I don't. You see what I'm saying? I mean, the whole thing is built on a relationship with God and where we put God in our life. Then he works with us individually. He speaks to us individually. You know. I'd got on the marriage counseling. I did. It was just awful. Okay, here's the second thing. Here's the second thing you do. I mean, again, we want a to-do list. To-do list. Okay, number two. No rules for holiness, no judging, just the Holy Spirit. Be occupied with the Spirit. Listen to this. Listen, just be occupied with the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk or be occupied by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. What are you occupied with? What do I do? Be occupied with me. Be occupied with me. Be occupied with the Spirit, the Paracletus. Be occupied with, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Jesus said it. Listen, don't do that. Don't watch that. Don't. Miserable. Living under the don'ts in the law. But to be occupied with the things of the Spirit. Be occupied with what God. And you won't do those things. You don't need a rule. You need a relationship. Relationship. See? It can't happen. I just want to make my wife happy. I don't want her complaining. Okay? Be occupied with her. First, you'd probably faint, but anyway, but be occupied with her. And then you know what to do and not to do because you're occupied with her. You see what I'm saying? God is revealing things to us. He gives us physical examples so we get our hands around it so that we can have that relationship with him. And having that relationship with him, we have it in the entire world. Now, I started not to share this one with you. I really did because I thought, well, I'll just share it with you because this is what the scripture says. Okay? Number three. No rules for holiness, no judgment, just the Holy Spirit equals let the anointing teach you. And a lot of pastors are going to tell you that. Not a lot of teachers are going to tell you that. You know, it's like, not if you're trying to gather a big following. And I'm going to tell you this, all right? Let the anointing teach you. Listen to 1 John 2:27. Now, John wrote Gospel John and 1 John. Listen to this carefully, what this says. John 1, chapter 2, verse 27. But the anointing, and what's the anointing? Work it through. What's the anointing? What you know? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing. You know what it talks about in the Old Testament? It said, anoint somebody with oil and you put it over their head and stuff. So there's a physical, you know, picture of that. But let the anointing that you received from Jesus, let the anointing that you received from him abide in you. But the anointing, I'm not reading this correctly, but the anointing that you receive from him abides in you. See, he says it already abides. So he's telling you, the anointing you receive from him abides in you. And you have no need that anyone should teach you. I'm like, you know, I'm out of a job. I mean, it's flat out of a job based on Scripture. It's like, you have no need that anyone teach you. All of you little legalistic and judgers and do this and do this. And like, guys, what? No, you don't have any. There's no need to anyone teach you or them. There's no need. But, listen to this, but as his anointing, the Holy Spirit, but as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as he taught you, abide in him. Do what he tells you. He guides you, now do what he tells you. Learn the language of the Holy Spirit. You don't need someone to teach you. He will guide you. He will teach you. Listen to him, and he will take you where you want to be. Where you want to be. Now, what it also says, we know it says in the Bible, what? It says in the Bible that he gives us elders and teachers. He gives us elders and teachers. And he says the elders and teachers should be able to teach, and they should walk alongside believers, pointing them to Christ so the anointing can teach them his truth. There you go. Teachers and elders, right there. They come along the body, and they should be one step ahead of the body. That's all you have to be. And you come along, and then you point people to Christ. Point people to Christ. Point people to Christ. That's the job of an elder and a teacher. And when the people grasp hold in the hearing from the Lord and growing, they succeeded. Okay, that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. Okay. Now, so that's the connection. You want an elder and a teacher wants the people to hear from Christ. He wants them. That's a blessing when they hear from the Lord. And you help them and walk with them. And, you know, me being 70, how old? 76. Good God Almighty. 70. You help somebody that's 25, I'll have some more mileage. So I can have more sin that they can help somebody and say, well, these are some of the things I've learned. But bottom line, the anointing is the teacher. I'm trying to supplement and put them in line with the anointing so that they can learn to grow in it themselves. So it all makes sense. However, elders, teachers, you know, teach. However, the anointing is the primary teacher. You go to counseling, you go to a Bible study, and you teach. But you know, the anointing's the primary teacher. You share the word, and then you watch what the anointing does, too. And you step in based on what the anointing is. I'm going to read it again. You have no need that anyone should teach you. The anointing teaches you. Process that. What do I do? What do I get in step with Jesus? And listen, or come along somebody that's a step ahead of you. Say, help me get in step with Jesus. You don't need another rule. You just need help getting in step with Jesus. Now, went longer than I intended to, but I won't close with this one. It makes all the, to me, it makes all the sense in the world. So bottom line, get big synopsis. We have the truth, boom, the redemption power of Christ. No question. But then he just starts teaching us, and we're all over the map. We are all over the map. God goes, that's good. I like this. And he starts teaching us where we are. And what he's bringing us not to be just alike, he's bringing us so that we'll be in step with Christ. That's what he's doing. So he makes sense. I mean, this is so helpful. So helpful. Now, based on this, Jesus closes this section on the Paracletus with a promise. That, to me, I almost this morning or this week, I almost want to stand up and go, hallelujah. That's the connecting piece. Oh, Jesus will do, ask anything in his name. He will do it. Greg, the song, you know, I ask and he did. I said, well, there's a bunch of stuff I ask, you're not done. And it's like, but it's just, you know it's true. You know it's true. Well, it all comes down. Based on what we know about the Paracletus, about Holy Spirit working within us, this is how Jesus closes the whole section. Listen to how he closes the section. The Paracletus is guiding you. Listen, walk with him. He's revealing everything to you. Right now he's revealing everything to you. John 16, 23 through 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full, because you are listening and walking to the, with the Paracletus, and he is telling you all things and is in connection. And listen to Paracletus, whatever you say, God will do. That's how it works. That's how it works. He just told us how it works. People will say, you ask anything, it doesn't work. You go here. This is how it works. This is how it works. And he deals with everyone different. He deals with everyone different. Now, so we'll wrap it up with this. No rules, no judging. Just the Holy Spirit releases God to act. Now, that's the key. It releases God to act. Look, if you will, at Galatians 2:21. Paul says, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law and rules, then Christ died for nothing. Nothing. Forgiven. We're forgiven. Baseline. We are forgiven. We are his children and his kingdom because we accept him. All God's people say, amen. And we're going to have, I'm going to pray and then we'll release this, going to have some refreshments. Dear God, I pray that, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you teach us. But Lord, I also pray, I realize, looking at this, I realize that there's nothing I can say that makes this happen. I can't make this happen, nor should I. But Lord, I pray that as the truth of word here, as each person reads this and looks at this, that you will guide them. You will guide us. That's a promise that for whole life, I just pray that come Holy Spirit come and you would change everybody's whole life, that they would know, no, the Holy Spirit will guide me. The Holy Spirit will tell me, and we have confidence. And in this situation, anything we're going through, the Holy Spirit is our little tugboat and bring us to the shore we're supposed to be in. So we thank you for your love, and we give praise to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You're dismissed here.